which is us as believers, the body of Christ. And how does the body of Christ function? We touched on that last week. I kind of want to spend a little bit more time in that. If you want to turn to Romans 12 in your Bibles, if you have it, there's several passages, 1 Corinthians, there's 1 Peter 4. We're not going to look at all of them, but the body of Christ, and we were just doing a VBS informational meeting before this, and I always say VBS, I think, is a great picture of the body of Christ, because it's like a one-week thing. It's like a one-week window you look into, and you see how all these different people with different abilities, different giftedness, are all working together to make this thing happen. You know, there's just like 90-some workers or whatever to make VBS happen. But each person is super important, and as I get to walk around and look at everything and see all the different things going on all at the same time, it's just like, oh man, if these people weren't here, this thing would fall apart, and if we didn't have the snack people, kids would go crazy, and they would be upset, and if we didn't have the game people, you know, and just all those people that are super important to making VBS run. It's the same way when it comes to the body of Christ and how important it is for us as the body to minister to one another. And that's the whole point of God giving us gifts, so that we can minister to one another. And you see that in a lot of different areas, because some of you are musicians and some of you are obviously not musicians, okay? That's why we don't have you singing, or that's why I'm not up there leading music. I'm not a musician by any means. But everybody has their different part in the body, and it's super important to look at that whole big picture and say, okay, we don't want everybody to be out knocking on doors. Although I know Chuck would love that, you know, if everybody said, yeah, I'm going. But we also don't want everybody to be in the children's ministry, and we don't want everybody to be a musician up here, and everybody has their role in that. And if you look at Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 3, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And this is actually the passage then that we get into here that Pastor talked about last week. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, which is a great, great passage and a super challenging passage. When we look at the different gifts that God has given to us to make this body strong. And even on staff, we have sat down and looked at our staff and said, what are the different gifts and abilities we have on staff? And it's really cool to walk through each guy kind of and go, you're that, and you're kind of that, and you're kind of this and that, and you're that and that. And there's not a ton of overlap, which is really good because we all balance each other out. Where Pastor may say this, I may say this, and Kevin might say that, and Mark may say, bring up this question, and Brad, and everybody, and Chuck, and it's just cool to see how God has given us a different mindset, a different thinking on certain things, which makes us stronger if you just have one person, let alone having all of those people contributing. Just like the body, we become stronger when we work together, right? I mean, we would all agree with that it's all important. My question is, are you pulling your weight in a sort of way as far as ministering and serving one another? Because we all have been given a gift, obviously the Holy Spirit if we're a believer, but a gift or gifts to minister to one another. And as we minister to one another, we become stronger. If we don't minister and we aren't using that tends to not make us as strong as we could be as a body. And it's really neat to see that and to watch that different people with different gifts. Some of you are like super mercy oriented. I mean, just mercy is just pouring out of you. I don't have the gift of mercy, okay? I just don't have that. Yeah, thank you, Doug. And some of you are like servants. You just, I just want to serve. I just wherever I can serve, I just want to clean stuff and pick stuff up. And some of you just want to be in the kids ministry because you just love, love, love kids. Some of you can't stand kids. You know, just I don't want anything to do with kids. You know, and some of you just, I just want to have Bible studies with people. I just want to disciple people. We need all of those things. It's super, super important that we have all of those and that we're using those and we're using those in the place that God has given to each individual. So that just, as we look at how you think of the whole process and how people and God uses us to whether some of you are witnessing and some of you are discipling and some of you are just loving, some of you are just serving, that's all part of the big picture. And it's all very, very important. And I think sometimes we get the mentality that says, well, you're not an evangelist, therefore you're meh. Or you're not a Bible study leader, so therefore, you're down here, you know. But yet, those are all very, very important to what goes on here, and we need each and every one of those as we go through. All right, one of the main things I want to talk about tonight is just the summer, and this was kind of, we had been talking about this several months ago. Mark and I were just talking about the summer and the direction that we're taking for the summer and the time change and the taking off Sunday night and why we're doing that and what's the point of it and what are we trying to accomplish during the summer, not just to say, you know, sweet, we don't have Sunday night church, or some of you are like, oh, bummer, we don't have Sunday night church, or however you, wherever you fit in that picture. We're really looking at, you know, why are we doing Sunday night in the summer? Really looking at that, and we've asked a lot of questions as far as why we're doing that, what's the point of it, what are we trying to accomplish in that whole thing. A couple of things. We're taking a break. I mean, we're taking a break for our SHINE teachers, for our nursery workers. I mean, that they've been going all, you know, that whole time. And that gets tiring, you know, as a teacher and in ministry. So we want to give people a break. And really the idea is to say, you know, like through school, like everybody that has kids in school, you're all going, oh man, it's summer, here they come. You know, they're coming home and it's going to be crazy and stuff. And then when summer gets done, we say, oh, it's school, school's starting. You know, they can't wait for school to start. And that's kind of what we're trying to do is to say, you know, everybody's kind of ready for a break. You know, it's been crazy, it's been busy, there's been stuff going on. And we can take a break and step back from some of those responsibilities with the anticipation when we get towards the end of the summer, when we get to fall, we're all like, yeah, it'll be fun to get back together. It'll be fun to get back and to be under the word and challenging on Sunday night. And the SHINE kids will get back into it and all of those things. And that's the idea. And then hopefully when we get to the end of the fall, we all go, oh man, it's summer again. You know, we're excited. We get to hang out with people. We get to minister to people. And that's really what we're trying to do, having opportunities to not be so busy in the building so that we can minister outside of the building is the idea. Because sometimes the mentality is like, let's just come to church, let's just come to church, let's just come to church, let's just all get together and be happy and all joyful, and we're all doing that. But yet at the same time, we need to be looking out and ministering outside of these walls, because church doesn't happen just inside here. You know, this isn't the church. This is a building where we all meet. The church meets. The church is happening all the time throughout the week at your workplace, in your neighborhood, at your house, with your neighbors, while you're at a walk, on the park, grocery store, wherever you're at. The church is happening. And we are the church going out, and God is using us in different ministries and different avenues, wherever you may function and be in. Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 2. Which is a familiar passage. What happens in Acts chapter 2? You got the Holy Spirit, what else? Something starts. I think I heard somebody. Church. Okay. Acts chapter 2, we're not going to read the whole thing, Don't worry. But verse 42, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Really want to look at verse 44 and on. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Real quickly on that, I mean, some of you don't get to see all of the things that happen kind of behind the scenes as far as ministry and people ministry. I know in the cell groups, I've heard story after story of opportunities where people have ministered in the midst of trials, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of babies, in the midst of health issues or whatever, moving. And to hear that people are actually going out and ministering to one another is very, very cool. I can remember when I first came on staff, when somebody had a baby, somebody would call, or they would call and be like, hey, we had a baby, and it's 7 pounds, 6 ounces, and it's la la la, here's the name and everything. And then from there, we would call somebody. I'm not exactly sure who that was, but we call somebody and be like, hey, so-and-so had a baby. Can you set up some meals or something and figure out that? And I'm maybe butchering this. Those of you that have been here maybe remember this. But then it was that person's responsibility to just call random people in a sense. Hey, do you know Jen Sullivan? No, actually, I don't know her. Okay, well, anyway, she had a baby, and she needs some meals. Okay, I don't really know her, but that's okay. I'll bring her something. Where now, with the cell groups and ministering and just with that mentality, half the time we're like finding out on Facebook before, you know, and like, hey, did you know so-and-so had a baby? Or so-and-so had this? They're like, no, we didn't know that. But the cell group is already going. I mean, the cell group is there. The cell group's got the meals all planned out. They got this thing now, Meal Baby, I think it's called, or whatever, online. It's all electronic. You can sign up. You can figure out what day you're bringing food and how much. And they've got allergies and they don't. And they like spicy and no, they don't like that stuff. And they like stew and spaghetti. And it's crazy. I mean, and it's just awesome to see the body ministering to people. Even with just the cancer news that we just heard, you know, this morning and stuff. I mean, already people are already starting to talk about, hey, we're here. We're ready to minister. We're ready to do whatever it is, food, watch kids, whatever. That is super, super exciting because it's not just some of us walking in here and sitting down in a chair and then leaving and going off and doing our own lives, but it's we're coming here as a body and then being able to minister to other people. We are a society of consumers. Would you agree with that? Consumers, like, where's the deal? How cheap can I get it? What can I buy? You know, Kohl's sends a coupon to our house about every other day that we get. You know, not 15% off, not 20, but 30%. Oh man, we got to go. 30%, we are there. You know, we got to buy something. Somebody needs something. I know. I guarantee you somebody got something. But they know what they're doing. They give you coupons, so you're like, oh, this is the greatest deal ever in the history of mankind. We have to go and buy something. If we don't, we'll miss out. And we are a consumer-driven society, which it's, what can you get? What can we get? What can we get? What can we get? And church has become that way in a sense, where what are you going to do for me? Didn't like the music. Pastor's message is all right. I wish they would have turned the heat down. And man, all this stuff, you know, it's potluck food wasn't very good, you know, when we had that. And it's all about you. It's all about this mentality of what's the church going to give me? What's the church going to do for me? How are they going to help me? Which is kind of the way we've been geared, I guess, in the sense of a society, is to say, you know, what are we going to get? Which really we need to have the mentality, what am I going to give? What am I going to do? How am I going to minister? I'll tell you what. Every time I drive over here on Sunday morning, I have to pray to the Lord, Lord, give me a passion for you people. Because my flesh, I'll tell you what, there's times I'm just like, oh, please, stop bugging me. You know, I got my kids, and it's crazy, and I just get frustrated, and you know, and I have to pray against that because that's my natural tendency is just to be like, even though, you know, I'm supposed to be a pastor and supposed to serve you guys and love you guys, but I think we all have that mentality. It's like, you know, just I just want someone to minister to me today. I just want someone to, you know, bless me and be kind to me. And really, we need to be with the mentality of like, how can I be a blessing? How can I be an encouragement? How can I serve somebody else? And being on both sides of that, because I'll tell you what, I have been and still struggle with the consumer, what can I get, what can I gain, is way better to give. And a lot of you have been on those sides. It is so much better to give. It is so much better to serve. It is so much better to give, to see people blessed. I mean, it's awesome. It is a ton of fun if you do that, if you're into that. And some of you, I mean, that's your gift. Man, you are givers to the core. You will give money. You will give time. You will give stuff. You will give whatever. And that is a huge blessing to a lot of people, but also a blessing to you as you get to minister to other people. But we are consumer-minded, and we need to be more so service-minded when it comes to loving people, caring for the body, caring for one another. Okay, hopefully you all got a piece of paper. Everybody get a piece of paper. If you didn't, raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand if you need a piece of paper. And if you need a pen, raise your hand, because we're going to do a little fun thing like we did last week if you were here. Because we had so much fun with it, we're going to do it again. Kind of break things up a little bit. If you need a pen, anybody need a pen? Back here. Can you just hand these out? Ryan will get you a pen. Okay, you are going to hand these in again. You don't need to write if you're a guy or a girl. That's okay. You don't need to write anything else on there. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think, and I want you to write down, you're going to write down three things. The top three, it doesn't have to be in specific order, just the top three. The top three reasons that I get up, well, first of all, the idea that you are a member, if you're a member here, or that you come here regularly or whatever, you come here regularly, but that the top three reasons that you come to Sailorville Baptist Church on a regular, consistent, weekly basis. Why do you come? What are you looking for? Like when you say, what is it that this is why I come? This is why I get up. This is why I come here. This is why I'm in a cell group. This is like, what is it that you would say? To me, this is the most important thing. This is why I come. This is why I'm involved. It's because of this. Write those three things down. Doesn't have to be in specific order. Doesn't matter. And it can just be one-word answers. You don't need to write a paragraph or anything. Just write a couple words. I'll give you a minute to think about it. Can we play a little music back there, Pastor DJ? You know how to run that thing back there? Okay. Don't touch anything then. Just leave it. Once you're done, you can pass it to the aisles. What are the top three reasons, or the three major reasons why you come here, why you get up, why you come here, why you hang out, why you come back on Sunday nights, whatever. You don't necessarily need to fold it unless you're ashamed by what you wrote down. All right, time's up. You're going to have to just, if you got two, that's fine. If you got one, we'll take one over none. Pass them to the aisles. Oop. All right. Now, we're not going to be able to read all of these, obviously, because we'd be here a long time. But this is going to be really interesting. I'm excited to read these because I'd like to see what everyone's going to say. And hopefully, if this doesn't turn out the way I think, my whole lesson's going to be shot. So, no, I'm kidding. Hopefully it won't be that. All right. Top three reasons why you come to Sailorville Baptist Church and continue to come here or become a member and sign your life over to this church and serve people. All right, here we go. This is in no specific order. These are just, I'm just going to read them. We'll go really fast. So, ready? People, preaching, discipleship. Worship, fellowship, refocus spiritually. To worship, to serve, and to be encouraged. Somebody folded their paper. To hear the word, to see friends and church family, to worship together, to preach the word, or preaches the word, serving others and friendships. Love to worship in song with our church, want to learn more from pastor. Preaching, fellowship, worship, super challenge from preaching of God's word. We have gifts that others need and vice versa. Administrative pastor, thank you very much, whoever said that. I'll talk to you later. Come up and talk to me. The Word of God is the focus of preaching. Ever since I was saved, being a part of the local church is part of my life. People love each other. Get to see people you hope to minister to hear the Word, to sing together, to feel close, reconnected to Him, draw close to and learn more about Him, the people here. Fellowship, serious about the Bible, comfortable, know people. Love the Lord, fellowship, affect others' lives, also something to myself. Applying it to myself, maybe? The body of Christ. My family is here, Christian. I feel God is working our church. I'm encouraged to grow. People are, for the most part, real. Yeah, we're not perfect, that's for sure. To hear Pastor Pat's preaching, for my kids to hear their Bible lessons, to serve. Learn from God's word, people interaction. For me, kids interaction for my kids, preaching, fellowship, preaching of the word, very clear presentation of the gospel, enjoy the way people care for one another, cell group, to feel God's, to be full of God's word by, filled by God's word, called by men of God, unified fellowship with other believers, serve in a small way in the greeting ministry, to keep my life righteous, to serve others, to seek God's glory. The people that attend here are real passion for Christ and are sharing with others. Pastor Pat and Mark's preaching of the word, the depth of learning that comes from the message, hopefully some fellowship. All right, I'm not going to read all these because these are, but that's interesting. It's what I expected. I expected three things. I expected to hear the word of God preached, singing in worship. That's what I expected, and I expected fellowship, friends, connecting was the other thing that I was, as I was thinking through that, what would that be, and what would I write down? But the theme of this whole lesson is the friendship, discipleship, evangelism, discipleship. Really just want to talk about, real quickly, the friendship and connecting people, and through the summer, how we do that, what does that look like, what are we trying to do, what are we trying to accomplish when it comes to connecting people. Now, the Sunday night thing in the summer, some of you can look at positively, and we'll look at it positively. I know some of you have said, like, oh, this is the sweetest thing ever. You know, we've heard other things that said, yeah, I'm really going to miss the Sunday night teaching time, which those are all very legit reasons and very good. But I think how you look at this and what your perspective is and the opportunities that are present will, I think, change the way you look at what we're trying to do Sunday nights through the summer. Because I think if we would all be honest with ourselves, to come into a room like this and sit down, some of you haven't interacted with a soul since you've been here. I don't know that, I'm just saying that. Some of you haven't interacted with anybody. You haven't answered a question. You haven't had to raise your hand. You haven't gotten called on. It's very comfortable. Nice chairs. Sit here. Abe talks to us. I leave afterwards. Go home. It's very comfortable. We're learning. We're hearing the word of God. We're getting taught all of those things. I would say it's probably more difficult to invite someone that you may not know into your home to sit down across from you in your house, or you get invited to someone's house, and to carry on a conversation. Oh, man. I mean, now some of you love that. Some of you are just like, oh, yeah, I'll have people over every night of every week, and we just will serve and love, and we just love it. It's the best thing ever. Some of you, that scares you to death to say, to have somebody into my house, to invite somebody over. They may ask me questions. They may ask me my past life and what I was before Christ, and I'm going to have to share with them. Or they're going to ask for my testimony. Or they're going to ask me about what I do, and all of a sudden, all of these things start coming through your mind and going, I like this. I like this. This feels better. I like sitting here and listening. That both of those are good, but as far as the summer goes, we're really trying to stretch everybody and say, how can we minister to one another, even though we're not coming together in a specific spot? The church doesn't stop. I mean, just because we're only meeting Sunday mornings doesn't mean that Sunday nights all of a sudden we're like, oh, nothing, we're done. Be lazy. No, that is not what we want to see happen. We want to see people connecting, people ministering to one another, people serving one another. Look at John 13. John 13, verse 34. I'm picking it up here as Jesus is talking. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And really, that's what we want to see happen through the summer months, is for us to love one another. And Pastor last week talked about the dear, the distant, and the difficult. And I know there's been lots of jokes about this and Facebook and like, so if I get invited over, am I distant or difficult? And how am I going to know that? And should I ask them? And yeah, you're distant, and no, you're difficult, and no, that's awkward, and everything else, and which is good, because we should be able to just, you know, have fun with it and laugh, and that's okay, but at least we're trying to connect with people, you know? I mean, even, so what, you're distant. I'd like for us to be dear. We'd like to be able to connect. We'd like to be able to have relationship, whether that's coming over to someone's house or going over to someone's house. One of the hard things about coming into a church like this is, as the cell group guy, the guy who kind of connects all the cell group things together, the one thing I hear a lot from people is, we just want to connect with people. We really want to connect. I mean, we're really looking for that. I mean, great preaching, great music, great church, but I just want to connect with somebody. I just want to have a friend. I want to have somebody that I can come in Sunday morning and go, hey, had a great time last night. That was a lot of fun. People are looking for that. I think we would all say that. We were all saying we're looking for deep relationships where we can encourage each other, love each other, challenge each other. I mean, we're all looking for that. And yet I think there's a misconception perception, yeah, whatever the word is, about everybody's got tons of close friends. We all have like 20 close friends, really deep, heartfelt friends. I would totally disagree. I don't think that's true. I don't think we all have a ton of really, really close friends. We have a ton of acquaintances. We have a ton of people we know. I know a lot of you. Would I say I have a really close, close, deep, heartfelt relationship with you? No, not a lot of you. And I think a lot of us would say that. If I asked you, here's a question, just in your mind, ask yourself, how many people do you have in your life that are super, like you could share your heart with? I mean, you could go, I could share sin with you. Stuff that I'm struggling, marriage issues, job issues, kid issues. How many people do you have in your life like that? Just ask yourself. One, maybe. Some of you would say none. Maybe some of you would say two, three. I've asked a lot of people that question. The most I've heard is like five, where people actually say, I have those really, where I can just bare my soul to somebody. Now, obviously we have the Lord, and we are to bear our souls to the Lord, not necessarily depending on people, but there's also that sense in which we need to just vent sometimes. We just need to talk. We just need someone to listen to us. I heard on a commercial one time, somebody said, there was a guy on Craigslist or something. He put an ad on there. He said, I will sit and listen to you for 30 minutes. I won't say a word. I'll sit and listen to you for 30 minutes. You pay me $15. Give me 15 bucks. I'll just sit there and listen. You just talk. And I'll sit here and listen. He couldn't keep up. He was just getting inundated with phone calls. Yes, I'll take that. Yes, I'll take that. Yes, I'll take that. Yes, I'll take that. Yes, come and just sit and listen to me, because people want to just sit, someone to listen to. Because most of the time we're talk, and it's like, just listen to me. I just want to share my heart. I just want to share what's going on. But most of the time, we've got everything to say and never time to listen, which is a great example. I mean, that illustration is, I was shocked when I heard that. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, though. One of the other issues when we're building relationships and as people are coming in, we're trying to connect people. A lot of you would say, I'm connected with a lot of people. I have a lot of connections. I do a lot of things with a lot of people already. In the book Sticky Church by Larry Osborne, there's a part in here where it talks about, he says, I think a lot of people are like Legos. You know, little Lego plastic, my kids love them. We all have a limited number of connectors. Introverts have a few, some extroverts have dozens. But either way, once they're full, they're full. And when that happens, we tend to be friendly, but not to connect. Which is a great illustration as far as if you're a new person coming into this church, that's going to be hard because a lot of you that have been here, you're like, I got my connectors, I'm full, I'm full up, I have no more time, I have no more energy, no more money, I can't do anymore. And the people that are coming in are going, hey, I want a connector, somebody connect with me because I don't have anybody. And we're all saying, man, my connectors are full. I've got no more time. I've got no more energy. I just can't. I got kids and it's crazy and stuff. So we have to remember, yes, we may connect well, but there's also a steady stream of people coming into this body on a consistent basis that are looking for connectors and for people to connect. And we have to do as much as we can as a body to make that happen. And because sometimes it's a super struggle for a lot of people just to be able to connect and to say, I just need somebody to say that you're my friend and that you know me and that we can do something together. As far as inviting people over through the summer and stuff, some of you will say, well, I'll just wait until someone invites me over. Maybe somebody will invite me over. And then at the end of the summer, nobody will invite you over, and you'll go, this church ain't very friendly. Nobody really cares about me. Nobody wants to hang out with me. Nobody wants to be my friend. I need a connector. I need a Lego, you know? I want to challenge all of us. Let's not be on the defensive, but on the offensive, and to say, you know what? I can make a phone call to somebody and invite them to my house. I can do that. We're all capable. All of you are like business people, and you work, and you make money, and you do all the stuff. You make great deals, and yet to invite someone over to my house is going to be very, very difficult at times. But to look at that and to say, you know, here's an opportunity that I can minister to this couple or get to know these people. Even last week when Pastor was talking about the dear, distant, and difficult people and saying, you know, inviting people over, and some of you have never invited somebody over to your house. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, hey, we're one of those people. We've been coming here for several years. Never had anyone over to our house, ever. Never invited anybody. And they're like, but we're challenged to do it. And somebody else came up and said, you know what? We're challenged too. We're going to make that a priority this summer is to invite people over and have them over to our house and minister to them. I'm like, awesome, awesome. If you've never done it, to do one during the summer, great. That's a win. That's what we want. If you've done it like a couple times and you can do it like double that, like you've done it twice where you had somebody over and you do it four times or two more times, great. That's awesome. That's what we want. We want people to be interacting and connecting with individuals and not so it's all planned. Like, do they know those people and do they know each other and I'm not sure if they'll get along. Who cares? Just pile them into your house and make it happen. You know, it'll be fun. It'll be crazy. You'll get to know a bunch of people and you'll connect with people that you've never connected with before. And that's what we're trying to do is to say, hey, and yes, are you going to have a deep, heartfelt relationship with those people? Maybe not. Maybe you will. But you don't know that. I mean, it all how God works and all of those things. Let me ask you this question. Have any of you ever, first off, to invite, here's just a thought. To invite someone over shows that you care. To invite someone over shows that you care. I don't know if any of you have ever been invited to someone's house and gone, I can't believe they invited me over. This is horrible. I'm not looking forward to this at all. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be the worst thing ever. It's going to be awkward. They don't care. I mean, we don't think that way. I don't think we think that way. We're most of the time like, oh, that was really nice. You actually would invite me over. That's very, very generous of you. That's cool. Don't know you, but man, that'll be fun. It'll be fun to get to know you. And I think that's most of the time how we think. I did youth ministry for 9 years, and I never had a youth kid turn me down to go out and get coffee or get something, ever. Never. I mean, every time I would ask somebody, they'd be like, yeah, okay. Now, they might not have liked me necessarily, but they still would go and hang out with me and talk. And I think that's the mindset that we have to say, I don't think most people are going to say, Andy and Casey Miller, thanks for the invite, but I really don't like you guys. I'm not going to come over, but thank you. I mean, no. I mean, maybe somebody will make an excuse and say, you know, I'm busy that weekend, or I can't, or... But we can't let that be the thing that hinders us. Here's the other question. I want to hear from you guys. What else hinders us from inviting people over to our houses and being hospitable and ministering to people? Just throw some things out. What are some things maybe we assume or hindrances that cause us to say, I'm not going to do that? Man, number one answer. Ding, 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 ding. Good. All right. We'll come back to that. What else? Okay, what are we going to do with the kids? Good. Anxiety. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? What are we going to say? Are they going to like me? Are they going to invite me back? Yes. What are you going to eat? Maybe they don't like that food, and then they won't want to come back, and that's a good one. Okay? Just tired. Wore out. Anything else? I gotta do the dishes. Those stinking kids. Trash my whole basement. Good. Those are all legit things. I think we've all thought through those and like, oh, that's a lot of work, and or don't have enough money. I don't have money to pay for it. I mean, I gotta buy steaks and burgers or whatever else, and I just don't have the money. You know, it's tight. Can't do it. Back to the house thing. That seems to be a really big topic, even among cell groups. And if you guys have been in cell groups, I think a lot of you would say that has been a topic of discussion or an issue like, well, we can't go to so-and-so's house because it's too small. Time out. Who gave that house to those people? Who gave that house to those people? God. Just because they don't have a stinking huge house like you, I don't even know why I'm getting emotional. That's what God has given those people. To use as a tool to minister to you. How dare we think that my house isn't good enough? Now, I don't know what they did in Bible times. I don't think they had big, stinking, sweet old houses to minister in. They probably sat outside under a tree or something, and I don't know, the kids ran around with the donkeys and whatever else was running around. I don't know. And they got dirty, and it was crazy, and, you know, wasn't clean probably, wasn't germ-free. But that's someone's house that God has given to them that they want to use. Then you stink and pile the kids in there, and you pile yourself in there, and it may not be the nicest furniture in the world, but they want to serve you, and they want to minister to you. I had a friend who said, oh, we don't really want to have people over because our couch has got rips in it. I'm a friend of this guy. I was like, I could care less if you got a rip in your couch. I'm not here because of your house. I'm not here because you've got a sweet TV. I'm not here because you got a great big yard. I'm here because I love you, because I care about you. That's why I'm here. It's not because you got a nice couch. I think sometimes we make up every excuse in the book to say, I don't know what people are going to think and whatever else. And hey, that's the house God's given to you. If they got a problem with it, that's their own issue. Don't let that hinder you from inviting people over and using the tools and the things that God has given to you. And so what if you can't make a huge, great meal? That's okay. It's not about the food. It's not that. So what? Serve popcorn and some chips and a hot dog. I don't know, whatever. Cheap stuff. That's fine. It's not about the food. It's about getting together. It's about connecting with people. So as you think about that, as you think about the excuses maybe that and the hindrances, we really have to kind of get back to the core of it and say, where's our heart in the whole thing? Like, where's my heart when I'm thinking of these excuses? Yet we'll do other things. We'll make every sacrifice known to man to try to get this something done. But yet, when it comes to those hindrances, how are we using those as excuses? We don't want to use those excuses to have people into our house. One of the other things that through the summer that is crucial too, that I think that's just kind of on my heart, is the whole Sunday night taking, you're going to have extra time that whole afternoon and all that stuff. I think the other main thing that we looked at was to have family time, just to hang out as a family, just to be together. It seems like all the people I talk to, it's crazy hours, crazy working, crazy running kids, this, that, every which way, and we have this assumption and we assume that everybody's just hanging out and having great quality time, which isn't the case. I mean, you read statistics of how much time most like high school or junior high school kids hang out with their dad. It's like a half hour a week. A half hour a week. And then they spend like 12 hours watching TV or some crazy number like that. I don't know. I mean, it's completely out of whack. But some of us just need to have family time. That's great. Do that. Get together with your family. Encourage each other. Love each other. Because this is an opportunity where we have some extra time to be able to do that. Because everything can be fine, but if that's struggling or suffering, that's not good either. So really, really looking at, how much time do we need to spend or with family and friends and even like what Pastor's talking about, the dear, the distant, the difficult. Some of you will need to just have the dear people over, because that's a huge encouragement that's uplifting to you, and you need to do that, and you need to have those distant people and the difficult people, and you need all of that. We need to have that time together. One of the things too that I think we may miss is we say, even on the title, like the discipleship thing. How is having somebody over to your house or even being in a cell group discipleship? Just throw out some thoughts here. How is having someone over to your house discipleship? And discipleship means we're encouraging, we're challenging people, we're hopefully becoming more and more like Christ in the midst of what's happening. Not necessarily to say, I think sometimes we think discipleship is, okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to go through this book, and we're going to read this passage, and this is it, which is discipleship, for sure. But how can...